Debbie Love and Anna Camp are staff from the Bonner Community Food Bank. And hold on, I'm going to reach over and grab this newspaper right there. Because I think, let's see, I think it's in this paper, isn't it? Isn't it, Debbie?
It is.
Okay, right. Yes. Here, hold on. Oh, there's Care of Why with JoJo Dodge. Here it is.
Ooh,
all right,
thank
on page
you, Zach.
21 of the reader that was on newsstands last week, and I guess not the one that's going out today. Bonner Community Food Bank set to double in size at new location. Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay.
First of all, some bare, I guess we should set the table with some details of the Bonner Community Food Bank. Who do you serve currently? Where is your current location? And then we'll talk about where the need arises for a new location and where it's going to be. So, the current status of the Bonner Community Food Bank. Who do you what's your kind of service area? How many people do you serve out of your current location?
Yeah, so our current location, we've been in for 15 years. It's on 1707 Culver's Drive. And we've been doing a lot of good work there for 15 years. And we've been serving, I was looking at some of the numbers. We're up 66% in our visitorship from 5 years ago. So, yeah.
Well, okay. So not doubled, but up more than 1.5 times.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And for 2025, we served 41,000 people. We're packed to the hilt in our little building.
21,000 people in 2025.
41,000
people. 41,000. Okay. That's counting, that's individual trips through the door of the community food bank. We've talked before, you've been on these airwaves to kind of explain what makes, or the style of this food bank. There are different schools of thought, I guess, and the food bank in Bonner County is more or less it's similar to a grocery store experience, sort of. You pick your own food rather than be handed a box of what's available.
Yes. Yeah. So, we've been doing that now for 15 years, and it's just evolved. Mm-hmm. Every year we learn something new on how to run the free client market choice. So it's great. People can come in, choose what they need based on their culture or dietary needs with dignity.
And that growing base of clientele, I guess, it's that growing need has prompted this, your acquisition of new facilities.
Yes.
This has been in the works for a long time, right?
It has, Jack.
Yes.
And
okay.
I thought about you.
Yeah.
because you were asking me for a while.
After we turn off the mics, I ask, are you guys still looking for a new place? How's that going?
Yeah.
But I don't, I never want to broadcast it in case I accidentally put, spill the beans or something like that. But I'm glad, but it's been a long time. I know we've been asking that question for a long time.
Yes. Yeah, so after 2020, we really saw some increase, and not just with visitorships by neighbors, but also storage for food.
Mm.
And we were finding ourselves working ourselves in basically crisis because we didn't have enough place to store our inventory. We ran out of room. And so I was fortunate to get a grant through the Cadeau Foundation, and we were able to build on 1,500 square feet to help with the warehouse. And it's nice to have some stock. So we aren't working day to day, hoping whatever comes through grocery rescue, we have enough, or through the community, we're able to have enough food to come. You know, once it's out of the market, we're able to stock right away with volunteers helping us do that. So we did that. And at the time, the board said, in 5 years, we're probably going to be looking for a building. So I tucked that away, and every year just trying to save funds. We all were out driving around anytime something would come up for sale, a commercial building, which is hard to find here, by the way. We would all look at it or decide to. And then recently we have, if you've been to the food bank, we have a north parking lot that is a dirt lot that we actually do not own that portion of the land. And the owner, after 5 years now, is ready to do what he needs to do. So we were asked to leave that parking. We're no longer able to use it after December.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the urgency to, we need to find something. And I would love, it's the old Tom Differentials building. Joanne Watt is a widow and Tom passed away and he owned the business for many years. And she was really determined to sell it to the food bank. And so we're really grateful to Joanne for having that and leaving Tom's legacy in that respect to support the community.
Thank you, Joanne.
Yeah. Thank you, Joanne. So, so we're really, happy. And I look at it as I'm hoping it's not a case in 15 years that they're going to have to move again, that this is going to be something that will be there for the community long after we're all, you know, moved on or gone. So,
Do you find in your current location that you're, I mean, you've got the parking problem that obviously made things urgent, but did you find in your current location that you are kind of out of space? You're bumping into the absolutely out of space.
We are a host site for Food for Our Children, and there's probably 15 volunteers that come every Wednesday and sometimes more. We're parking on the street,
and moving pallets of food out into the parking lot so the volunteers can come in and work in the warehouse. So it's sort of like a, you know, a shell game in moving these, you know, pallets of food out so the volunteers can come in and have enough.
One of those little puzzles.
Tetris.
I don't know what those are called. It's not, but whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like it's built into a little block. And you can only move. You have to clear one space. Okay. Well, whatever that puzzle is called, that's what you're working on. That's what you're working with at the food bank. That's how tight it is.
Exactly.
Okay. And you are. And compare the new location then to your current location. What's the change in kind of in the available space?
Yep. To me, I feel like it's really two things.
Yeah.
It's location for accessibility for our shoppers and space. I mean, the space is we will have twice as much space as we do currently. And with the location.
Yeah, the location can't beat it. We're on the spot bus line now, which is fantastic.
Okay.
We're right down from health and welfare. There's senior living across the street. So there's just a lot of positive things to where we don't have right now for access.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, you're kind of tucked away currently.
We are.
It's hard to find the food bank if you're looking for it. If you don't know right where it is, it would be unusual for you to drive past it.
Exactly. Yeah, you sort of have to look for it.
So the positive thing too, people will come into the food bank. They will park around back. There's over an acre of land in the back, so we're able to provide enough parking. Also space for our garden beds and to expand that program.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about that too.
Okay. That's right. The food bank garden program.
We're excited to
continue.
To move the garden. We're actually getting a lot of help from two local organizations. Next month, Cedar Hills Church is going to be coming out and,
Lighthouse.
Yeah, Lighthouse is coming later today, which is fantastic.
Okay.
Lighthouse has been such an amazing supporter of the food bank over the years. It's a real gift to have their support. And also New America Bank is going to be helping us out next month. Move these garden beds and prepare a new site to grow more food for people in our community.
Let's see. Is everything finalized as far as the purchase?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, we closed on April 6th.
Okay.
It's exciting. We are just working with, fortunately, Bowdoin Architecture and Sewell Engineering and Mountain Construction are giving their time to help us with the plans.
That's great.
And the city of Ponderay, Kaylee over there has been wonderful to work with. So they've been welcoming and just waiting for those plans to get approved that... once we get them there, then we'll be able to start. We're looking at the end of June. We do have to pull up some concrete in the back and do some paving.
There'll be some work. Okay. So when you're talking to architects and engineers, what are you insisting upon? What do you say? This is what we want. This is what we need. What are the important things for you to see in the new building?
Yeah, good question. So we'll actually have a space for food for our children. So they will have their own working space. We don't have to move tables or pallets. We'll be able to store their food in their little corner, and that'll be theirs. Mm-hmm. Also, bathrooms, ADA bathrooms, plenty for staff, clients, volunteers, the public.
Yeah.
So that's very important.
That's important. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just enough room for the warehouse and volunteer space so we can actually have room to sort, and we're not crawling all over each other to get to that can of beans to move. So
yeah, moving stacks of boxes, because we've sort of gone vertical in our current location. There's many stacks of pallets and many stacks of crates.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it'll be nice to have these items more accessible to our volunteer team.
Cool. I see it's got a couple of this picture reveals a couple of rolling garage doors, it looks like.
Yes.
Is that helpful?
Very helpful. So we'll be able to, once a month, we probably have a 53-foot semi coming. We rent a 26-foot truck once to sometimes twice a month to make trips to Spokane and Coeur d'Alene to bring food back into Bonner County. So and then we also assist Bonner's Ferry Food Bank and then our other smaller pantries around Bonner County.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're also kind of the hub for the, you have the Priest River location as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And will that impact that at all? I mean, I guess I'm wondering, with the more storage, will you be able to kind of, serve as a distribution center?
Sort absolutely. Of? You bring up a good point. So since Second Harvest out of Spokane has stopped their distribution, they would come once a month to feed all the pantries in Bonner County and throughout the inland Northwest. They stopped doing that. And so that's a need that I've seen for many years, that this will be a good place to start doing that for our northern region here. And so for especially Priest River, there's not a lot of room. So we're able to hold things for them. And we now have a little van for Priest River so they can drive it over and pick up some food when they need it or special orders that we have. So yeah, it's very exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential and a lot of things that we can do programming wise and serving our neighbors. So.
Yeah. We're talking to Debbie Love and Anna Camp from the Bonner Community Food Bank about their new location, which is going to start serving people. When? When do you suppose you'll be making this move?
Oh boy, it's a tight timeline. We were hoping November 1st. So that's the goal. But
yeah, that's going to be a busy summer then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
What do you have to move and what doesn't move from the current location?
Great question. So we need to move our walk-in freezers, walk-in coolers, and then finishing up some electrical work to make sure that the new building can handle those, which they can. But those are some things, specific things that we are going to be looking at to do over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you looking for any volunteers to help with this particular effort? Do you have any particular needs that volunteers can fill?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's painting, obviously yard work, things that, and then moving. Once we get that timeline tightened up, we'll be able to know that, okay, we can move these boxes over, all the things and the food. So
how do you move a walk-in cooler? It's a room, right? I mean, it's a room.
Yeah. It's 10 by 12 room.
And it's in panels.
Yeah.
So you really need somebody to take apart the walls and move it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you have to do the refrigeration part. So you have to.
Okay.
Take all that out first and then have the electrical. So there are some people, we need people with specific skills to do that part, but moving it, we could use anyone. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else is new at the food bank? What kind of year has it been? I don't think we've talked to you since. It's been a few months.
Yeah. It's been a great spring.
Mm-hmm.
Anna just finished up a class at the library. It's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. Last week we were at the library with the Natural Connections program.
Mm-hmm.
And we offered cooking made simple. So we offered some low cook and no cook food preparation ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good turnout. We had some some kind of hilarious times with technology, but everybody was a good sport. And we also partnered with SASE, our SASE Senior Center, just a couple weeks ago in their open house. And it was great to collaborate with a lot of different area organizations to offer more information of the services that we provide in our community.
Okay, cool. I think last time I ran into you, Anna, was at the library. You were busy over there.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, okay.
I think it was. Yeah, it was the library. The library has been a great support.
Yes, to the Earth Food Day. Bank. Mm-hmm.
And we also did Earth Day. That's right. That was fun. Another great opportunity to collaborate with different organizations in the community.
Cool. Yeah. Let's see. What do you guys need right now at the food bank?
I was just speaking with one of the volunteers, and what she had mentioned was what she sees go most quickly off the shelf is condiments.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that, you know, we don't really consider as a food item, but like jelly, ketchup, mayonnaise, those sorts of things go really quickly off the shelves. Breakfast cereal is another big one, especially as the kids are out of school just in a couple weeks. So there may be more kids eating late breakfasts, and breakfast cereal is always a quick one to reach for when that's on the shelf. Yeah. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of children in the schools, we are partnering with the Lake Pendere School District nutrition program again this year. So we've made a call out to area growers for lunchbox compatible foods. So things that we can put into a lunchbox, like, you know, berries or sugar snap peas.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cucumbers.
Okay. Things like that.
And Anna created a great name. It's called Seed to Snack.
Seed to Snack.
The Seed to Snack program.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So it's our second year partnering and doing this. So.
I remember talking about this, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. Seed to Snack. Yes. Yeah. Catchy. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. So area growers can come in and they can bring their donations to the food bank, and we will sort them and bring them to the school kitchens. And the kitchen staff will put them into the summer meal programs, and they'll get into the hands of kids over the summer.
Cool. When do you start doing stuff over, or when do you start, you mentioned tearing up the pavement, and then you've got to start building gardens, right? You can do that without getting into the building.
Right.
When are you going to start this?
We'll start that mid-June.
Okay.
So we'll...
Coming right up.
Yep, coming right up. We do have the nibble gardens out at the food bank right now that Anna's planted, and then we will start planting 3 beds at the food bank where we currently are, and then saving the other 7 to be moved in mid-June. So
okay,
maybe we could put some late crops in there. We're not sure yet, but yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. It is, you're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. Debbie Love and Anna Camp are our guests. We're talking about the Bonner Community Food Bank. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we're talking to some folks from Sandemonium.
Yes.
Yes. The festival out at the library for comic books and what is it? Comic books, video games, fandom of all sorts.
Yes.
Yes. Are either of you going to Sandemonium?
Oh, I'll stop in.
Yeah.
You are going to stop in. Okay. Well, good. Speaking of, kind of packed to the gills, that is always a tight event. There's a lot of people show up to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, what am I forgetting? Any important events, any dates people should have on their calendar for the food bank?
We are having an art and garden party.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
On July 7th?
18th.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and Debbie has some information. Where is? What street are we going to be on?
Garden Street?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Garden Street?
I think
In what city?
In what city do we have? We are going to be in a garden.
There's a garden street.
We're going to be in a garden on a street.
Okay.
So do you know Tom and Robin's Napolitan?
No.
They are artists.
I don't think I do.
Local artists for many years.
Okay.
And they have a collection, a life collection, and they would love to sell it that day, and all the proceeds will go to the food bank.
Oh, wow.
It's a really unique fundraiser.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So It'll be in town somewhere off of Fifth Avenue at their home.
Yep. Stay tuned. We'll have information on our webpage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll have some music.
Garden Street. There is such a thing. Hold on. I'm trying to find it right now. Garden Street.
Yeah. We'll have music, appetizers.
A lot of art.
It'll be a fun.
It'll be beautiful, especially that time of year. There's going to be a lot of blooms happening. So there's not only the art that our local artists have created, but the art that is just pushed straight out of the ground, which are the flowers. So it's an art and garden party.
Indeed. Yes.
And Robin's really excited to showcase that too.
She has a beautiful garden.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I do know this street. It's right off of Olive, and it's a two block street out kind of by City Hall in that neighborhood.
Okay.
Garden Street. What do you know?
I know.
Okay.
Fun.
Okay. So you may be there at Garden Street, or you may be somewhere else.
Maybe.
Who knows? Okay. Yeah. But that's July 17th, you said, I think?
18th.
Yep. Sure.
It's a Saturday.
Okay.
From 11 to 4.
11 to 4 on July 18th.
And we'll make sure to connect back with you on more information.
I hope so. Yeah. But that's really cool. Yeah,
it was really nice.
This is sort of a theme for the food bank. These individuals kind of making a point of now in two cases, they're kind of their life's work going at the end, or not necessarily the end, but at a period of transition,
right.
going to help you guys. In this case, the artists are selling their paintings or their art, and proceeds go to the food bank. The building itself that you're moving into, the owner, after it was a family business, I guess, for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then, and the owner insisted that it end up in your hands at the end of it rather than, just be sold to the highest bidder.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, all walks of life walk through our doors. And so we help a lot of different people. And so.
Well, very interesting and rather inspiring, I must say. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, shall we leave it there? Would you like to give out a little contact information, or if people have any questions following this conversation, who should they reach out to?
Absolutely.
Where should they find more information?
Yeah, more information will be on our website, which is bonnerfoodbank.org.
Okay.
Also, our phone number, you can call our office anytime, Monday through Friday. 263 food. It's easy to remember that way.
So that is easy to remember.
263-3663.
Is that a new phone number?
No.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, years and years.
Somehow I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
263 food.
That's right. Yeah. So just, give us a call if you have questions about any of our upcoming programs, or even a question about the building, if you want to get involved, if you'd like to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking for someone to cover Mondays in the client choice market. We've got a gap in our shift. So if someone has time on Mondays, come in.
8:30 to noon.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That would be important.
It is because Mondays and Tuesdays are our busiest days. We'll see over 100 people.
Yeah.
On both of those days, 120 on Monday, maybe about 100 on Tuesday.
So yeah.
It's a busy place on Mondays.
The man usually sitting in your chair, Anna, Jim Healy, he's a regular Tuesday morning volunteer.
And we really appreciate him, but we're missing him because he's in San Francisco.
He's gone. Yeah.
Yes.
How are you?
Jim,
how are you
back.
Holding up? I know. We're
come
all
back,
missing
Jim.
Him.
We miss you.
It's
we're holding up. We've got a great team, but Jim brings his own unique
that's
presence,
right.
and we love having him as a part of our team.
Mm-hmm. I think we need Jim Healy stickers or buttons or something like that to wear when he's, especially when he's not in town.
Brilliant.
Just sort of in. Yeah. Jim, come back. Jim, come back.
We'll
with
get
his
on
face
that
on it.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Okay. All right. Let's take a break here. It was on this date in 1971. So that would be 55 years ago today. That Marvin Gaye released What's Going On, and we're going to play the famous album. Oh, he's calling me right now.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Hey, hi, Jim.
Okay. I guess he's tuned in, or else he just felt his ears burning. But we'll play Inner City Blues off of What's Going On. The album, Marvin Gaye's landmark 1971 album, came out on this date 55 years ago. And when we return, we'll be talking to folks from Sandemonium, the festival at the library for all things nerdy, as they say. Be right back. Thanks for listening to KRFY. Marvin Gaye, Inner City Blues, off of his landmark 1971 album, What's Going On, which came out on this date, in, as I said, 71, 55 years ago today. And you're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson. Debbie Love and Anna Kemp, thanks for coming in from the Bonner Community Food Bank. And now we have three different guests joining us. Steve Hammond, Mike Nickerson, and Vanessa Nickerson are here from the Board of Directors of Sandemonium, the festival for all things nerdy in Sandpoint, which takes place at the library coming up next weekend, May 30th.
Yeah.
This is how many years has Sandemonium been going on?
11. This is our 11th year.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And Mike, it was anybody involved 11 years ago. Were any of you involved 11 years ago?
I don't think any of us were directly involved.
So I attended the first event 11 years ago and fell in love with it.
Okay.
I came back the next year as a volunteer, and they just kept giving me more and more to do, and here we are. Now I'm the chairperson of the board.
Yes, Mike Nickerson now is expand. Your role continues to expand.
Yes. I don't think there's anywhere to go from here.
Yeah.
We'll figure something out.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Steve, Vanessa, were you guys also there early days? When was the first time you attended the festival?
I think I first attended the second year of the convention. And then it kind of fell off the map a bit during COVID. And then we got, my wife and I, Wesley, who was also on the board, got involved with it shortly after that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Vanessa, when did you come onto the scene?
Shortly after I met Michael.
Okay.
Yeah,
there we go. Right into the mic. Yeah.
Hello. Okay.
Hello.
Get in there.
Yeah, if you have a beard, you should feel it touching your beard hairs. That's what
I don't.
That's what Mr. Healy always says. But these guys can. Yeah. Anyway, you were
I met Michael in 2019?
I think so.
Yeah. And you were like, you should be a vendor. Mm-hmm. And so I signed up to be a vendor, and I think after that I was hooked. So.
Okay.
She is our newest board member, though.
Yeah,
she just joined
last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were a vendor. What were you selling?
Books. Paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Your own originals?
Yes.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
She does some cool stuff.
Yeah.
She's very crafty.
I do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
She does.
Okay. We're going to circle back to that, and we'll have to ask you about the books and books and paintings that you do, but we'll talk a little bit more about this this event coming up on the, you said 11th year or the, I don't
yeah.
know if it's
yeah, yeah. 11 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And it's at the library. Anything different for the 11th year as opposed to the 10th?
So, go ahead. Well, I saw your mouth opening.
Yeah, we continue to grow by little bits each year.
Mm-hmm.
We're sort of bursting at the seams at the library at this point. I know this year we're sort of one step closer to actually having vendors. Mm-hmm. We have a bit of a vendor showcase that's, I think, currently in the lobby of the library.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just set them up yesterday.
Yeah. And hoping to expand that to actual vendors within the next year, I think.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now that the food bank has got a new space, maybe we can hit them up. They might let us use their warehouse.
Uh-huh.
We'll have a little more room.
Yeah.
Yeah, do some
joint effort.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There you go. Yeah, you do kind of need more room. I've been to San, I don't remember if I went last year, but
I've
been
to a couple. You were there.
I was okay. There, yes. There you go. You remember?
I do.
Was there. Yes. I've gone before, and it's a lot of fun, a lot of energy, and you somehow get it all packed into the library.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah.
That's my only, I guess, regret, is that later on during the event, we would have folks that would show up and they'd kind of do the walkthrough, and we were just so packed. The tables are packed. We've got people playing games. We've got people playing Magic. We've got, you know, everybody doing everything.
Yeah.
Later on in the event, it can get pretty full.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I still love that people are stopping by and checking it out and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish we had a little more room, but the library is so gracious and amazing and awesome. We are just filling that location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. So it's May 30th. It's at the library. I'm sure you'll see it. You go in and turn left.
You got it.
Through the front door, and you'll find Sandemonium down there at the end of the hall in the great big meeting space.
There you go. So yeah. The library has a kitchen space, too. You'll walk by it on the way to that meeting room.
Yes.
Right there on the left, when you turn left.
Yeah.
Steve's wife, Wesley, she is an amazing cook.
Yes.
Incredible cook. And she prepares things for the event. That's part of our fundraising and how we make money is she sells things there. Mm-hmm. But we use the word sell very loosely. It's all on a donation basis because... Mm-hmm. We want people to have goodies, and they are so good. I think you had some last year.
I did. See, now I definitely remember. Because, yes.
They're memorable.
I remember she was making, I think she was made bao.
Yes.
Bao.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Well, that's so good.
Our traditional make for the event.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go. Then it's an appointment now. It's officially on the Peterson family calendar. Tomorrow, May 30th, we'll be there at the library just for that alone.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a great fun event. Do you guys go to any other? It's built on the website, a celebration of all fandoms and nerd communities, including anime, comics, sci-fi, fantasy, tabletop gaming, video games, esports, and cinema. It's a convention or a con of sorts.
Absolutely.
Do you guys go to other? I suppose the nearest big one would be Seattle. Seattle has a Comic Con.
Yeah, my family and I have attended Emerald City Comic Con a few times. Also, go to the PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo over there in Seattle. It's usually on Labor Day weekend each year. SpoCon, there in Spokane as well. It's another fun one to hit up. But we try to keep on top of things.
And there's the anime con over there too.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I honestly haven't been to another con in a while. I used to routinely go to different cons, but I guess I'm getting old. I don't know. Sandemonium just has everything I need. What can I say?
You're running your own. You don't need to go.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the idea, I guess. Yeah. But Steve's out there keeping an eye on the competition.
There you go.
That's good. Yeah. 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 I don't know. I haven't been to, it's been forever since, other than Sandemonium, since I went to a major like Comic Con or anything like that. But how's the scene out there, Steve? How are things changing in the convention space?
I mean, they remain really, really fun events. I think there's been more awareness shifted towards the sort of convention drain that people start to feel after being there and being on their feet for a few hours. You'll find more kind of dedicated spaces for like taking some time away from the hubbub of everything, which I think is one of the nice things about Sandemonium is it doesn't quite have that same sort of hectic kind of atmosphere that some of the major cons do. We still remain a little more chill, despite our bursting at the seams.
Yeah, it's an interesting combo for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My son regularly takes in cons. I went to Spokane last year. Lives in Spokane these days, actually. And he was all like, man, he's like, I had a good time. He's like, you know, the friends and I, you know, we hit up all the vendors for a couple of hours and we got a bunch of swag. He's all like, and then we went to do some panels. He's like, but honestly, he's like, man, it just made me miss Animodio.
Yeah.
He's like, the big con thing is cool. He's all like, but man, he's like, it's so... Sanimonium is so, like, intimate and personal and just, like, so much more his speed and his vibe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is cool that it's a, because it takes place, I suppose, in a smaller community and in a smaller space, it's much more, it's a celebration among people, among neighbors, basically.
Most definitely.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's a little less, the big con, I mean, it used to be sort of, I guess, sort of a subculture, but it's very mainstream now,
right?
And very much so. You know, the major entertainment companies are very aware of the big cons and have kind of taken them over to some extent.
Yeah, most definitely.
It's nice that this remains sort of a celebration and among locals.
Yeah, cool. And as part of that, you know, when you go to one of the larger conventions, you'll meet tons of people that are interested in the same things that you are, but then you'll never see them again.
Right.
One of the things that's great about Sanimonium is that, I mean, year after year, I encounter people who show up at Sanimonium and they end up meeting new people that become friends for life. Mm-hmm. They end up their new D&D crew they get together to play games on whatever system or console they happen to have. And they stick together. It's really cool. It's a heck of a community.
Mm-hmm.
We put together a Discord channel for it, a few years ago now?
Yeah.
And it's cool to watch community members just kind of slowly trickle into the Discord. You know, people to post their, like, mini painting, or if they're looking for a group, checking out in the community to see if they can find people to play with. And it's a lot of, you know, just this and that. But it's, it's really cool to see people in the community connecting. For sure.
Well, we've kind of given the broad appeal of Sanimonium, but we should probably get into the nitty gritty here.
Cool. Besides,
we mentioned food. What else is going to be there? Kind of specifically, what do we find at Sanimonium?
Yeah, Vanessa, what kind of things are Sanimonium?
Are you all looking at me?
Go ahead, Vanessa. You take over.
It's your turn.
I have a craft. I do crafts.
Okay.
And this year I have a dice bag.
A dice bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Usually the kids come in, I'm right there in the front, and a lot of the kids are like, what's going on? What is this? And I'm like, it's Sanimonium.
Mm-hmm.
Make a craft.
Okay.
So I kind of...
You usher them in.
Yeah.
You'll be the welcome station.
Right, she really exactly. Is. I am. Yeah.
Making dice bags.
Yeah, we're making dice bags this year.
Cool.
So. Yeah.
Okay. And then we enter the main space, and what else do you see there?
This year we're going to have an FOL table, the Friends of the Library. We've specially curated a selection of sci-fi, fantasy, and mangas.
Nice.
For sale, because they usually have a hard time selling those at their regular book sale. And I was like, hey, no, Sanimonium is where you want to sell this stuff. So
makes perfect sense.
Yeah, we're going to have that. And then usually a lot of people like kind of hang out in the lobby a little bit in their costumes, and they'll goof around a little bit. And then, you know, you go on into the... into the hallway, and there's the kitchen.
Yep.
And there's delicious bao.
Mm-hmm.
Among other treats.
Cookies, Rice Krispie treats.
And, all the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. All the good stuff.
Yeah.
You mentioned costumes. That's right. People do come in costume.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yes. Are you all costumed up? Are you going to go in costume?
I am.
You are?
You?
Vanessa, what are you going as?
An elf.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So I may go prop. I don't know if I'm going to go full costume.
You have to.
Do I?
You have to at least for 5 minutes.
Oh.
In a photo op.
So Vanessa, among her many cool crafting abilities, has made me this Tom Baker Doctor Who scarf.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which is just... it's amazing. I can't wait to wear it and show it off.
It's 12 foot long.
It is.
That's phenomenal.
Which is to scale. Yeah. Like, that's the original one.
Yeah. I got the pattern directly from the BBC. The lady who originally made the scarf for the TV show. She'd written down the pattern. I was like, okay, I'm doing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talented gal over here.
Yeah, that's me.
Mm-hmm. So you're wearing a 12-foot scarf?
At least part of the time. Okay. As long as I can handle a 12-foot
scarf.
Okay.
And the hat. I'm wearing the hat.
Yeah, at least for fire.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, what are you going as?
I probably won't be in costume this time around.
Yeah, listen to all the guys.
Oftentimes, I think I forego a costume for Sandemonium. That's my small shame.
Okay. But you wear costumes a lot, though, in acting. So
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yes, Steve is an actor.
Yes, Steve is an actor.
Yes.
He's been here many times talking about
his
various
true.
Roles. There's another thing we can circle back to. What's Steve, when will we see Steve on stage next? Mm. But so that's a good point, too. You don't have to go in costume.
No.
You can show up. You can be in plain clothes. Yeah. You won't be shunned from Sandemonium. No.
Though if you do show up in costume, we do have the cosplay contest, which is one of our kind of biggest hit events at Sandemonium. And we have a $100 grand prize.
I was going to say,
wow.
The prizes are significant and people have a great time dressing up.
And we have some phenomenal costumes that people come in. They just put their heart and soul into, and there's just such great work.
Wear your costumes, please.
Yeah. who won last year? Do you remember?
Molly Madrid.
Oh, well done. And she had a Mandalorian costume, right?
That was there you
really
go.
Angel of Mandalore, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Molly. I'm sorry. Amazing costume that she had made herself.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. That was last year and this year. It could be you, listener, who wins the costume contest. You've got about a week and a half to figure it out.
Get your cosplay.
Yeah.
You know, for people that aren't showing up in costume, we have a face painter there most of the time, too. And I find that's really fun. Like, a lot of people, they're not quite, confident enough to show up in a public event in full costume.
Mm-hmm.
But they will do some crazy stuff as far as their face painting and our face painter. I think Cassie's doing our face painting, and she's really good.
Yeah.
The kids love it, but, like, the adults do. It's an amazing, in between, I suppose.
Yeah. We're talking to Steve Hammond, Mike Nickerson, and Vanessa Nickerson from Sandemonium, the event at the library on May 30th from 10 to 4 on the East Bonner County Library on Division. We started talking about costumes there, but we had just, in our tour of the facility, we had just gotten into Sandemonium. What do we see after we pass the Friends of the Library booth?
So after the crafts and the Friends of the Library booth, we'll probably have Ethan or someone else manning the greeting station where people come in, and there's registration there for the video gaming, for the cosplay contest.
The miniature painting.
The miniature painting. Yeah, that's true. We have a miniature painting contest as well with rewards.
Painting the figurines? Or painting?
We have
the teeny tiny ones.
Yeah. We have figurines there. So you have to, you can bring a primed miniature if you would like, but otherwise you have to use our crappy paints and our crappy brushes and do the best miniature you can, and they can be submitted for prizes.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
We've got a video gaming shortly thereafter on the right. Later in the day on the left, in another meeting room, we're going to have a panel from Rila Lean, and she's going to be doing D&D character creation for people that are new to D&D that are interested. And then eventually you just end up right in the middle of the event in the main room.
Yeah, and in there, we'll have some folks running. Ian, who is one of our longtime community members, will be running some Pathfinder games there. We have Magic the Gathering. Folks will be playing D&D. There's a number of board games that we usually put out for folks to peruse and play at their leisure. The miniature painting is in that space. And that's where most of the other events will sort of happen, where we'll announce the winners of the miniature painting contest. It's where we'll do the cosplay contest.
We usually do some trivia in there throughout the day.
Yeah.
And the rubber duckies. Yeah, that was a big hit last year.
Yeah.
And then at about 2:15 or so in the afternoon, we will have a short performance from the LPO reps improv team mediocre at best.
Mm-hmm. There, so 2:15 would be that's another time not to miss. I would
yes.
say.
Yes.
Try to be there.
That should be a lot of fun.
Okay. I'll have better mics for you this year.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what you're doing, Steve? You're in mediocre at best, right?
I am indeed.
Okay. Do you know what? Do you guys have a plan yet for what's
We have a bit of a plan, but being an improv group,
so I guess you can't have a.
Do you ever have a plan? Yeah, a real plan.
Just the barest semblance of a plan.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The germ of an idea.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
The cosplay contest itself, registration usually closes out around 2:00. And the contest itself is 3:00. That's how we close out the day, is with the cosplay contest.
Cool.
So the space kind of goes through a transformation. We'll take a bunch of the tables out, bring in chairs so people can sit down. And there you go. And the contest is at 3:00. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. The event is Sandemonium. It's at the library on May 30th from 10 to 4. You do this once a year, but then there's a mini... What is it? Go ahead.
So traditionally, it usually happens once a year.
Yeah.
We are plotting and scheming and talking of it. We're presently looking for a larger venue that will hold us and that is within our price range. And if we can find one for the fall, actually, we're talking about doing a second event this year.
Cool.
Yeah.
With vendors.
Yeah. If we've got the room. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you've got the demand. It's always a very popular event. How many do you have an estimate? How many people do you guys count, have a clicker? How many people are coming in the doors?
We do, but I don't remember what the numbers were for last year.
I think Ethan had clicked 150.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
And then I had clicked probably 75 that didn't go in.
We've got multiple people with multiple clickers, so the actual numbers get a little.
Depends on how far you get into the. Yeah.
The actual numbers get a little sketchy, but that 150 to 200 range sounds pretty solid. Yeah,
cool.
I ran out of crafts last year.
I know you did. You'll run out this year.
I know.
Okay. Well, there you go. So go early, but also don't forget to stay at least till 2:15 to see. To see the performance by Mediocre at Best. Okay. We have time now to circle back to first, Steve, when are you next on stage?
So I have a number of things going on there. We are going to be performing in June at the Hive with Mediocre at Best. You might also catch us running around at the Ren Fair. That should be a lot of fun. We'll do our best to cause some chaos there. I am currently directing the next show for Lake Ponderay Repertory Theater. We are doing a production of the Restoration era comedy called The Bow Stratagem.
I just saw a poster for it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Auditions are on May 27th and 28th.
Okay. Oh, that's coming right up.
Yeah.
Next? Okay. Next week. Where do people go to audition for that?
They'll go to lporep.com.
Okay. We're live on the air, folks. I'm sorry, I can't answer the phone right now. who do you think it is? I bet it's Terry Nobody calling with the information about LPO Rep. Probably so. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll take your call after in just a few minutes, caller. Thanks for calling. And then Vanessa, folks who want to find out more about your, what do you write? What do you write? What do you paint? What is your calling there?
So I don't like my books.
Okay.
I don't want to promo them.
But, okay.
I did write a fantasy series and then a, series of novellas about a search and rescue dog and her handler.
Cool.
They are under her maiden name.
Yeah.
Just a hint if anyone wants to see them.
Honestly, okay. It was when I was a baby writer and before I worked at the library. So I was super excited about them. I was like, here, library, have all my books. And I'm like, oh, God, there's so many errors in here. So they're just, embarrassing.
Did you have fun writing them?
I did.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
It's part of the journey.
That's important.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Okay. What are you working on now?
Just work.
Oh, okay. No. You don't have the next novel isn't in progress?
No. It's been a while.
That's been a little while.
I think it's been about 10 years since I've written anything.
Yeah.
You're
I wrote a poem.
I did write a published poem here.
Yeah.
You got published in the paper.
In the Reader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gosh, you always have something crafty going on.
I'm always crocheting or knitting.
Yeah. Always something.
I'm always yarn, anything fiber. I have a giant 8-foot loom. Mm-hmm. And I weave and I spin, so I have this cool spinning wheel and I make yarn, make stuff. I have so much yarn. You have all the board games.
I have so many board games. Yeah. True.
We're coming up on 9 o'clock here, so let's give the details one more time. It's Sandemonium. It's 10 to 4 at the library on May 30th. It's open to all ages.
Please.
All experience levels, right?
Yes.
You don't have to be...
Come as you are.
Yeah. Okay.
And we've got a bunch of sponsors, but really who I'd like to give a shout out to this morning is Allie and Amber, who made our coffees and our tea. I don't think we'd be functional right now without them.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah, we would be remiss if we didn't mention, of course, the library all of the help that they have been for us.
Kyoki, Sandpoint Gaming.
Yep.
Kind
of our big three.
And the animal shelter.
The animal shelter.
Yeah. The BTAA has been very good about helping us secure some of the prizes for our competitions this year.
Okay. Well, there we go. Well, thank you. Thank all three of you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
I think we covered the subject pretty well. I'm sure it's going to be another great event.
This is always fun. Thank you so much for having us.
Okay. Have a lot of fun next weekend at Sandemonium. And I will see you there because I need to get some of that bow.
It's been
a year since the last time, I guess. Okay. Stay tuned, listeners, for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show.